young people.
This morning for the good singing. Appreciate the good songs. Appreciate the good spirit here this morning. Anything upon your heart before we might change the order of the service? Amen.
No. Is there
Love you.
Amen.
Praise his
name. Amen. Bless you, Sister Peggy. Appreciate this. Something else this morning? Anything? If not, I need your prayers this morning. I was telling Brother Mike earlier after Sunday school, I felt pretty settled on what I was going to preach on until about 4 or 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and the Lord seemed like he changed that. That ever happened to y'all preachers? It happens. And this is going to seem a little different today. But all I know is to do is to what preach what God's laid on my heart. It's all I can do. I trust in the Lord. And that's all I can do. And so today, I need your prayers. And I want to thank this church for the prayers that they pray. You know, a preacher can feel a church praying for him. He can. A preacher can feel it. And so I can feel when you're praying for me, and I appreciate those prayers. I need them. I've said this before. I'll say this. If God wasn't helping me, and there's times when I feel like I could just crawl underneath a pew somewhere, and then there's times when God I felt like is helping me. If God wasn't helping me, I'd just soon just stay out in the car. I'll just be honest with you. And you say, that ain't no way to be. Listen. This is all about Jesus this morning. And anything we do, we need the Lord's help. And we need His Spirit. So this morning, I appreciate your prayers. And this is, like I said, it's going to seem a little different. But that's all right. You don't have to raise your hand this morning, but I just ask you this question. Does anybody here suffer or deal with anxiety? That seems like an odd question. I do. I ain't going to try to make this about me today. But I do. I struggle with it. And more or less what it is, to put it in layman terms, there's people that have an extreme condition of it, right? There's different orders of it. There's people that have the extreme of when they start having panic attacks, they feel the need to put some kind of bag over their mouth and breathe and try to slow their breathing down. And there's people that have all kinds of these disorders, right? Whether it is brought on by stress or whatever it is. But we use the terminology today as anxiety. And I've even seen lost people who I believed was lost, and the conviction and the Holy Spirit has fell upon them, and I've went to them and talked to them about their soul after I've been preaching, and they looked over me, oh, I'm not lost, I've just got anxiety. Well, I want you to know, and I'll just be honest with you, I believe quite possibly it's something that was manifested by Satan himself. Because God is not the author of confusion. But Satan wants to, any way he can, arouse doubt and confusion, and he wants to cause chaos in your life. Any way that he can, that's what he wants to do. And so, listen, anytime you have anxiety, it's bad. But when you're a preacher and you have anxiety and you already think and question everything on top of that, and then you add anxiety and stress on top of that, and I'm just going to be real with you today. But you add that on top of that, then you question everything else. But I appreciate what Brother Mike said today. And I tell you what my problem is. And I think a lot of our problem is if we're honest with ourselves and if we're honest with God.
As we say that we've got confidence and trust in the Lord when we go to Him, but it doesn't take very long when we come up off an altar somewhere that we want to take what we've just prayed about back. And we want to hold on to that. And it eats at us. And it takes away that spirit. It takes away that earnestness. It takes away that feeling that we have with God. It takes that away and it drives a wedge. And it drives doubt is what it does. And I'll be honest with you, I think every bit of that has to do with Satan himself. And y'all might disagree with me. The world today wants to I'm not trying to get into the medical field and talk about things I don't understand, but I will say this. We live in a day and time that the world wants to throw medication at everything. They think a pill will fix everything there is in the world. And I want you to know this morning that, my friend, there's times in my life that medication will not fix the problem that I have. That only God can. I want to take for our reading lesson this morning. This is going to seem very elementary to you. But this is what the Lord's laid upon my heart. And maybe this morning this is just for me. But I pray that it's a help to you. I want to take our reading lesson from a sixth chapter of Matthew. Sixth chapter of Matthew. You'd like to expound upon this and for further study, maybe go back and for your own time's sake, you can start in the fifth verse. That's not where we're going to read today, but that's where Brother Mike started his lesson this morning. I want to take up our reading lesson, sixth chapter of Matthew in the 24th verse. Excuse me. Let me back up here. 25th verse. Jesus doing the speaking here. Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? And the body than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, and how they grow. And how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not also much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things doeth the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And with the mistakes that we've made reading, and I asked you earlier, if anyone suffers from anxiety, and let's just boil it down to what it is, it's worry, and it's stress, and it's all of these things. And we worry and we stress about things as... Brother Mike was made mention this morning. We worry and we stress about things that are completely out of our control. And here it is what Jesus is speaking as He's here He's talking about during this time, I want you to understand that people taking thought for the raiment and the clothes and where they might eat their next meal, those were things that they had need maybe to have thought upon. Those were things that would have concerned them. But Jesus here is instructing them, take no thought for those things. He's saying, I will provide for you. I will take care of you. He said, those things are the things that the Gentiles seek. In other words, those are things that the world is seeking out. They're seeking out those things. He said, if you take thought, can you add one cubit to your stature? Can you make yourself do what you want it to do? So by worrying and stressing about something that's completely out of your control, can you do anything about it? And my friend, that's my problem. And maybe that's none of, maybe y'all don't have that problem this morning. But I'm just being honest with you. It seems like so often I get down to a place to where I feel like I can fully surrender and give it to the Lord, and then it doesn't take very long before I turn right around and pick it back up again. And then I wonder why I'm stressed, and I wonder why I've got anxiety, and I wonder about all of these things when God is simply saying, take no thought of it. Now, I'm not saying this morning that we don't need to be concerned about our homes and about our families and about our marriages and about all of those things. But what I am saying this morning, if there is problems, if there are issues in the home, if there is financial problems, if there's things going on this morning, only God can take care of them. You understand what I'm trying to say? I told y'all back some time ago, it seemed like I like to control things. I'm not saying necessarily that, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, but I by nature, I guess it is, take for instance, when I was in Paraline work, and y'all know I've done that for a long time, there was boys that liked to stand around on the ground. They was groundmen. That's what their job was. They would hand me tools and hand me wire and all kinds of things. Now, if they were trained, they had every opportunity to get in the bucket and to do that line of work. But I was always the one, and I'm not bragging on me, but I wanted to be in the bucket. I wanted to be in control of what I was doing. That way I knew that I trusted myself to know that I was making the right connections, that I was doing everything that I could to be safe. I was taking care of me. You see, I like to be in control. I like to drive. Me and Jessica's driving up and down the road. So her driving scares me to death. It scares me plumb to death. I like to drive. You know, she says, you're so slow. Well, I like to drive. You know, I don't know. I just learned to slow down. She likes to drive too. But I like to be in control. But do you understand something? If somebody pulls out in front of me, I can't control that. We hit a chug hole on the way home. We hit a deer. Now, I can't foresee that deer jumping out in front of me. It wasn't too awful long ago. My stepdaddy was out riding his motorcycle. A deer jumped right out in front of him, almost took his life. Do you think he anticipated that? No, he didn't. But yet oftentimes we sit around and we worry about things that we cannot control. And it gets us to a place to where we begin to question God. Well, Lord, you didn't answer this or you didn't answer that. And it's like Brother Mike said, sometimes the answer is just no. I don't necessarily believe that, like Garth Brooks says, I thank God for unanswered prayers. I don't necessarily believe they're unanswered. I just believe sometimes the answer is just no. God ever told you no about something before? He has me. What did Jesus sum all of this down to? He said it this way. He said, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. When I began to think about that, I thought about this over here and the thing is this morning, when I read about David, and I read about how David was a man after God's own heart, and I'll tell you, David messed up. He did. There was times that David made errors. But I'll tell you, all of us are guilty of making errors. But I hope and I pray that all of us get to a place that we be a people after God's own heart. That we be a people that desires a closeness and a relationship. And what it boils down to is trust. We tell lost people to surrender and to trust Him. And I know that I've done that sometime in my life, but I'm telling you, there's times in my life that I still have trouble with trusting Him, because if I didn't, I'd fully, completely surrender and say, God, You've got this. And maybe I don't struggle like I do. You know, worrying is a sin. It is. You know what worry will do? Anxiety, stress. You know what happens? It starts out as something small. And then it begins to consume you. And then when it consumes you, it affects your family. It affects your mental state. It affects your relationship with God. It reflects all of those things. And when it all boils down to it, all of that is completely out of your control to begin with. Listen to what David says. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." David realized that the Lord was his shepherd. Jesus says that the sheep know His voice. I'm thankful this morning that I know the voice of the Savior. I'm thankful that I can recognize when He speaks to me. And my friend, not only when He saved me, we talk about it all the time, that when He saved me, He gave me a peace. Let me tell you, that peace that God gives you, it ain't just a one-time peace. My friend, He's given me peace multiple times throughout my life. He is the Prince of Peace. He doesn't just extend me peace that one time. He's given me peace multiple times throughout my life. He is a continual peace. My friend, you've never known peace until you've experienced Jesus. David recognized Him as his shepherd. He said, "I shall not want." Shall not want what? You think David had any concern about what was to come his way? He said, "I shall not want. Whatever I need, God will provide." When I think of this verse of Scripture, you think about this is probably one of the most remembered, probably, verses of Scripture and probably the entire Bible. And it has been a comfort to so many people. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside still waters." I don't know how y'all are, but there's times when I want to just get away and just have a thought and just think and just clear my mind. And wasn't too awful long ago, I was sitting there having lunch, and I sent a picture to Brother Mike, and it was down, there's a place called Winding Stairs there in Lafayette, and You've got to go down in there. And, there's a beautiful little old stream down there, and there wasn't a soul down there. It was just me. I went down there on my lunch break, and that's where I had lunch. It was just peaceful. That's the way God is. He's just peaceful. He said, He that restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I began to think about that shadow. There's different opinions on this, but I'll say this. And the Lord just help me. Has a shadow of a dog ever been able to bite you? The shadow can't hurt you. My friend, the shadow cannot hurt you. It's just a shadow. And my friend, that's what Jesus has been able to do. He's been able to remove all of that fear. And oftentimes I want to hold that back. You think about David over there. When he had sinned with Bathsheba, Nathan come to him and he had a little baby. She was pregnant. And they was going to have that little baby. And he laid in the ground. He laid upon the earth. And he fasted. And he wept. He mourned over that little baby. And they began to question when that little baby died. They said, what are we going to do? They whispered. And David finally said, what are you whispering about? Is the baby dead? And they said, yeah, he is. And after 7 days, David, he got up, he cleaned himself up, he anointed himself with oil, the Bible says. He went and ate. And they said, we don't understand what you're doing. And he said, I can go to him, but I can't bring him back. He said, I can't change what's happened here. I've got to go on. And I believe David, writing this as a mature man, he had experienced some of these things. And my friend, listen, we can't change those things. We've just got to trust God through the process. You don't think there's people in the world today that are struggling with, they may be here amongst us today that are struggling with different diseases, cancer, all kinds of things that are going on? Well, sure there are. And then I look at those, like a song we sang about the old country church and them old saints that was praying. My goodness, those were praying people. Get down on the floor. And they were going to get a hold of the one that could help them. They made time for the Lord. Whether they had a spot out by a stump or they had a spot somewhere in the kitchen or they had a spot wherever it might be, they was going to call upon the name of the Lord. You know what? They trusted Him. See, that's my problem. I pray, Lord, help me to do better. I'll pray about something, and then it doesn't take me very long that I just want to turn right around and pick it back up. But just like I said last week, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy. See, He wants to help you carry the load. Jesus says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And my friend, this morning when I look at, when we look at David, and we see how David, we could read through the scriptures of things that David messed up on. But my friend David had faith in the Lord. He had trust in the Lord. He had confidence in God. And my friend, I believe that's ultimately why he was a man after his own heart. Jesus looked over there and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Worrying ain't going to do nothing. I was thinking about those three Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image, golden statue. You remember in the scripture, all of us familiar with it. When they heard the sound of the hornets and all the music, they used to bow and to worship it. Some of them come to him and said, "Well, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And I want to read to you this portion of scripture over here and listen to what it says. In Daniel, you don't have to go if you don't want to. Third chapter in the 16th verse. Says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God in whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And he says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one time seven times more than it was wont to be heated." And we know then that he commanded them then to take, and those men that placed them in there, they were burned up, they were consumed. And anyway, I want to read this and just finishing this up. It says, and as Nebuchadnezzar the king, he rose in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And my friend, I want you to know today that just as those three men come out of that fire, there had no smell of smoke on them. The hair on them wasn't singed. Their clothes wouldn't burn. He cast them into that fire. He said, "It's going to heat up seven times more than the other." And they looked over there at him and they said, "If it be God's will to deliver us, he'll deliver us. But if not so, then we shall not bow and worship your gods. Whatever God's will is, I'm satisfied with it in my life." My friend, that's trust. That's confidence. We tell lost people, and I believe it, to trust in the Lord, to place their confidence in Him. And my friend, listen, I'm just as guilty as anybody. I have a hard time with it sometimes. But so does His disciples. His disciples did too. But I'll tell you this. They finally got to a point we read about over there in the book of Acts. Boy, they began to... The Holy Ghost, they was endued with power from on high. And they just followed the Lord. My friend, we've got the form of the Comforter here to guide us. This morning, how many times has God pulled you out of the fire? How many times have you worried about something? You worry about your kids. You worry about this. You worry about all kinds of different things this morning that's completely out of your control. When all we can do is just go to the Lord and say, "Lord, this is bigger than I am. And I'm going to leave it at your feet." To come to the throne of grace boldly, believing that the one that delivered those three men that was in that burning fiery furnace is the same one that I'm talking to when I go to him. As Nebuchadnezzar looked off in that fire, he said, I thought we just put three men in there. He said, there's four men walking around in there, and one looks like the Son of God. That's the one we're talking to. That's the one we're praying to. That's the one, when I go to him, I want to leave it at his feet and say, God, you can take care of this. You know something, this morning I believe that we've got to a point that we look and we say, Brother Casey, oh, look at this nation. We was talking about the Olympics yesterday. They say, oh, Brother Casey, look at this country, look at this. Yes, it's a mockery what they've done. Yes, it's a shame. But my friend, I still believe in prayer. And I believe God can fix it. And if it's going to be fixed, it's going to be through God. Me worrying about it ain't going to change it. You know what's going to change it? Praying about it. Put my faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus. I don't know this morning if this made any sense to anybody else. The scripture tells me and Peter to cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Don't it get heavy? Maybe y'all don't have that problem. But don't it get heavy? Carrying all that anxiety and all that stress and trying to control something that you don't even have any control over to begin with. When you finally just come and you surrender to God and then he gives you peace about it. Lost people being lost and they go lost and they've got this burden that they're packing. Listen to me. If you'll just surrender to God and take my advice this morning. If he's knocking upon your heart and you know that you're lost and separated from him this morning, go to him and he'll give you peace and he'll give you joy. My friend, he's still the greatest joy that I've ever experienced in this life. He's still the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Do you know him? Quit worrying about things you can't control. And go to the one that can help you. I don't know if this is, may just be for me. Yes. I love you, church. I hope it's a help to you. Brother Mike, if you, Brother Strode, if y'all get us a song. You hear it, Lord? Lord, why it may be found.